The second reading of Parshas Vayechi begins with some quiet drama. So Yosef, the favored son who is viceroy of Mitzrayim, has been called, and he is tasked by Yaakov Avinu with ensuring that the funeral plans will go as per the latter's desire. Yaakov wants to be taken back to Eretz Yisrael, to be buried in Hebron with his ancestors. And then, after Yaakov informed Yosef that he was going to pass on to his progeny the special bracha that none of the other children would get, Yaakov falls ill and Yosef comes rushing over. And this is where the narrative picks up. First, Yaakov Avinu wants to bless the children. He has this blockage. He thinks maybe these children aren't worthy of blessing. Yosef ensures him that the lecherous behavior of Mitzrayim did not get in the way of his marriage, and he proves and shows documentation. Anyway, Kochim Noralai V'Avarachim, the first reading ended with, bring them close to me and I will bless them. And the second reading opens with Yaakov Avinu not being able to see clearly. His eyesight is impaired. In the Torah's words, Kovdu Mizaykin, they're heavy with age. And this is a problem. Why is it a problem? Why is it important for him to see? Why does he have to see the children? So the Mefarshim talk about this idea of connecting, that a bracha necessitates connection. And therefore, Yaakov felt he had to see the children in order to be able to. So, but this, he can't see them. His hearing, his eyesight is impaired. What do you do? And the answer is he's gonna physically touch them. He's gonna place his hands on their head, and in doing so, that way he's gonna forge this link, this connection, and they'll be able to show the blessing. And he says to Yosef, I didn't even dare to imagine I would ever see you again, and now look, Hashem has shown me and shown your children. Okay, it's all very nice. Let's get on to the business of blessings. So Yosef takes his children out from his father's kind of lap, whereas Yaakov is sitting there and embracing his grandchildren, and he bows low in a sign of humility before his father. Why does he take his children out? So Radak says, because now he has to arrange the blessing, and there's an elder child and a younger child, and of course, you know, Yosef is especially sensitive to this, and he's very worried about it, like, you know, favoring olders over youngers. That didn't go so well in Yosef's generation. And he's going to, so to speak, set the children up for the blessing now. So he takes them out from this big embrace, this big family embrace, and now he arranges the children that should be appropriate, which would mean that Menashe would receive the blessing with the right hand, and Ephraim, the younger one, would receive the blessing with the left hand. As the Torah proceeds to speak about chapter 48, verse 13, Vayikach Yosef es Shneihem, es Ephraim b'yaminoi, mismoel Yisrael, he takes both of his children. Ephraim is in his right hand, which is on the left of Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, because there's a mirror image here. Ves Menashe b'smoile, Menashe is in Yosef's left hand, which that will be miyamin Yisrael, that will be on the right side of Yisrael, vayageh she'elov, and now having thusly arranged them in this fashion, Yosef moves closer to Yaakov, he moves the children into position. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Es Ephraim b'yaminei mismel Yisrael." In other words, he arranged him so that he would end up, that Menashe would be on Yaakov's right. And since Yosef is facing him, that would be on Yosef's left. Habolikras chavede, a person who is standing in a corresponding position to his peer, yaminei keneged smel chavede. Your right will correspond to the other person's left. Simple. What we call in English the mirror image, imago. The Kevan Shehua Bechoyer, why is that so important to Yosef? Since he is the firstborn child, so Miyuman Lebracha, he should be receiving the greater blessing, the blessing of the right hand, the blessing of the stronger hand. Yaakov was right-handed, as most people are, and so that's the way he sets him up for this blessing. Now remember, Yaakov can't really see. Vayishlach Yisrael es yaminei. So Yaakov sends forth or maneuvers his right hand. Vayashas al Reish Ephraim, and he puts it on Ephraim's head. V'hu hatzoyer, and he's the younger one. V'esmoiloi, and his left hand. Al Reish Menashe, on the head of Menashe. Sikel es yodov, he cleverly maneuvers his hands. Ki Menashe ha-bechoyer, because Menashe is the firstborn. And Yisrael, or Yaakov, Jacob, is clearly aware of this. However, that is not going to get in his way. He knows exactly what he's doing. Rashi says, sikel es yodov. The word sikel would come from the concept of seichel. Everyone knows what seichel is. Intelligence, right? Kitagumai, as the Targum renders it, achkeminun. Achkeminun is a permutation of the Hebrew word chachma. Bahaskel v'chachma hiskil es yadav lekach, with wisdom and with judiciousness. Yaakov knew exactly what he was doing. Very, very cleverly maneuvers his hand as he wants to. This is not an accident. This is not a mistake. It's exactly what he's doing. Ki yodeya hoya ki Menashe ha-becher. He knows very well that Menashe is the becher. Va'af al pikein, le'shos yamini alav. He did not place his right hand upon him. Very interesting. This is a quiet drama folding out. You can only imagine Yosef, his stomach must be turning over. Now, why does it say he placed it al reish Ephraim v'hu ha-tzoyer? So the Bereisha Zuta says something very interesting, which will come to light, I think, towards the end of today's class. He says ha-tzoyer doesn't just mean the younger one, that he was born 2 years later. Ha-tzoyer means the smaller one, meaning the one who held himself more humbly. Ephraim was the humble one. Menashe was a little bit more aware of his virtues and values, and it was Ephraim who remained the more, so to speak, the quieter, humbler. That was, and that's part of it. That's part of it, as you're going to see. It's part of the puzzle. So anyway, he maneuvers his hands, and Menashe is the becher, and despite the fact, as Ibn Ezra says, and the Rivo and the Chizkuni, they all speak about this, that you have to understand, ki Menashe, ki over here is despite. Despite the fact that Menashe is the becher, he knew he was the becher, and despite that fact, he said, he'll get my left hand. It's Ephraim who's going to have the blessing by the aegis of my right hand. And having done this, we now move on to the blessing. Vayivarech es Yosef. First he blesses Yosef. Vayoymar, and he says, Ho elikim asher hishalchu avoysai lefon of the God that my ancestors walked before. Avram v'Yitzchak, Abraham and Isaac. Ho elikim horoya oisi me'oidi ad hayem hazeh. The God who has tended to me from this very day. From the beginning, from day one, that God. Now, 1 second. Vayivarech es Yosef. Why is he blessing Yosef? He should be blessed. There's a whole discussion here. Everybody's going to bless the children, and Yosef knows this, and he arranges the children where Menashe will be on his left and Yaakov's right, so that not only the blessing should be given to the children, but be given right to the children. He says, "Vayivarech es Yosef." What's going on over here? Interesting. Rashi does not say a word about this. Maybe it's self-understood what the other Mepharshim say, or maybe there's multiple ways to learn Pshuta Shel Mikra, and Rashi doesn't want to favor one way or the other. But at any rate, Ramban says that this is because a blessing requires love. Like the Kohenim say, Levarech es Ami Yisrael, be'ahava. That's part of their blessing. And I once heard it said that why the Tzaddikim have the ability to bless, whereas everybody has the ability to curse? Because everybody can curse with an open heart. Only a tzaddik can bless with an open heart. In other words, it really requires an emotion. The emotions are what elevate and lifts and conveys these sentiments and gives the concept of a blessing its power, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. So with it has to be love. And who did Yaakov, who he loved, who was his favorite child? It's this enormous amount of love for Yosef. The love for Menashe and Ephraim was through Yosef, but the love was to Yosef. And therefore, vayivarech es Yosef. This is the idea, the emphasis, Ramban says, the concept of love. The Sifsi Kohenim says that he blessed Yosef also. It wasn't only that he blessed his children. He blessed his children as well. The blessing went to Yosef and to his children. But don't think it didn't bless Yosef. And the Eir HaChaim says something really phenomenal. He says, the Medrash tells us that God told Abraham that until now, the key for blessings was in my hand. From this point and onward, I now give it to you. Avraham Avinu was supposed to give it to Yitzchak. He was afraid to give it to Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak, he foresaw what happened to Esau, and he couldn't bring himself to do it. And for good reason. Because Yitzchak came within an inch of giving it to Esau. So in the end, it's God who gives it to Yitzchak as well. Avraham Avinu said, Yavi Bala Brachas, let the master of the blessings come, and let him give it to whoever he thinks is right. God comes, gives it to Yitzchak. Vayivarachas Yitzchak gives Yitzchak. Yitzchak in turn, in the end, passes it on to Yaakov, first unwittingly. And then the moment after he realizes what happened, he says, Gam Baruch Yeh. He deserves the key to the blessings. Let him be the one. And now, really, it's a question of Yaakov passing those keys on. He's not going to be here anymore. Who will hold the keys? And the answer is Yosef will hold the keys. He gives, the Eir HaChaim says he gave the keys to Yosef. Yosef would become the one who would be able to bestow the blessings in the future. Yubaz Yosef HaTzadik. So the first thing is Vayivarech es Yosef. But he's going to be blessing Menashe and Ephraim now. And he says, Ho'alikim, Asher, Ishalach, the God who has gone along with me, who has taken care of me my whole life long, and so on and so forth, the God who provided for me, as the Targum says, that God. Verse 16, Hamalach HaGoyalaisi, the angel who will redeem me, Mikol Rafim all evil, Yevorech Hasani Orim, he should bless these children. V'yikori v'hem shmi, my name should be called upon them. V'shem avoysai, in the name of my fathers, Avraham v'yitzchok. V'yidgul arayv b'keref ha'aretz. And they should propagate like fish in the midst of the land. That's so weird. Propagate like fish in the midst of the land. The fish don't live in the midst of the land. Fish die. Fish only live and propagate in water. So we'll talk about this in a moment. But first, let's focus on the business of Hamalach HaGoyalaisi. In verse 15, after he blesses Yosef, he says, Ho Elikim, God. So God, who was gone before me, the God who was gone before my ancestors, that's the God who should bless you. And then we talk about Hamalach. Why would he switch from God to Hamalach? Yaakov wants to bestow the blessings that God has given him. The presence of God should be with him. Why does he talk about an angel? What virtue is there an angel vis-a-vis God? So Rashi says, which Malach is this? He says, this is the Malach, this is the angel Tzugezunt that's mentioned elsewhere. This is the angel that God used to send to me, was accustomed to send to me. Bitzarasi, whenever I had difficult circumstances, whenever I was in a situation where I felt squeezed and pressed, God would send an angel. Ke'inyan shenema, like it says with regard to Yaakov being in the house of Lavan, and at a certain point it just became untenable to live with a monster of a father-in-law, and he had to get out. Vayoymer elai malach olikim, and the angel of God said to me, b'chaloim, in the dream, Yaakov, v'gomer Yaakov, etc. Or, anoichi hakel beiskel, I am the God of beiskel, the house of God. And that was an angel speaking. That was an angel. So from this we can see that Yaakov was always in communication with an angel. So he said, the angel that brought me those blessings, that angel should continue to bring you the blessings now. Which doesn't really explain to us who this angel is, but does explain to us why it has to come through an angel. So the Sepharno has a unique approach here. He says, you know that blessings don't just come. You have to earn blessings. And Yaakov is afraid, what if they won't earn the blessings? Menashe and Ephraim, they're okay now, but what's going to be in the future? And we'll see, actually, there is going to be some issues in the future. So he says, if they won't be worthy of God's blessing, at least let them get the angel's blessing. In other words, it's not direct. So let them have an indirect blessing. Yaakov is kind of covering the base. This is insurance so that the brachas should still nonetheless come. The Or HaChaim disputes this. He says, it's not a question of a secondary blessing. You should know, he says, this is the way that God sends a blessing, the convention, the envelope through which the blessing is delivered, the Dvar Hashem, the word of God, that is called an angel. That is an angel. An angel means a vehicle. Angels don't have their own independent ideas. It's not a creature, a person. The angel means a vehicle. Hamalach HaGoyalaisi, in the same vehicle, I got my blessings, the same envelope, you should get them in the same envelope, in the same fashion. Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Yaakov saying, I don't want you to have blessings like other people have blessings. No, you should have the blessings the way I had the blessings. The way I got them, you should get them too. V'yikari v'hem shmi. Rashi doesn't say anything. Rashi doesn't talk about this. He doesn't say what mean my name should be attached to them. And the question, of course, is what does that mean? According to the Daz Zaken and the Balei HaTosfos, it means that Menashe and Ephraim will be enumerated as two of the tribes. Now, in order to be a tribe, a shevet, you had to be Ben Yaakov or Ben Yisrael. But they were not Ben Yisrael, they were Bnei Yosef. So that's what Yaakov says, V'yikari v'hem shmi. Their lineage should be attributed directly toward me. They should be the Shivte Yisrael, the Shivatim of Yisrael. And that's the reason that we talk about the idea of their name should be called with me. Rabbi Yosef B'chor Sher says that there's something special about Zera Yankiv, something special about the progeny of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And Yaakov said it's the greatest blessing. Greatest blessing to identify you as a Jew. This is a child of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. There's an amazing medrash that Rebbe once talked about, that there was people in a ship, I don't know, they were on business, and they're coming close to an unknown island, and they say to this Jewish fellow, three guys say to the Jewish fellow, go do business for us. We'll give you the money, you go negotiate for us. So he says, I should negotiate for you? I don't know any more than you know. I don't speak the language, I don't really know what I'm doing. They said, it's okay, your God is with you. you just go for us. In other words, the nations realized that the name Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is with the Jewish people. Your God is with you. The greatest thing ever is we should be recognized as Jewish people. That's the greatest blessing. The Kodivam Shmi, my name, look at you, think, oh, Shmi. That's there goes a child, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That's the blessing that he gave them. And the blessing was that the Yid Gularev Bekerev Aretz. First of all, it says Yivarech Hazan Arim. Rashi does here comment. He says, Who are the lads here? He says, this is Menashe and Ephraim. Even though it says Vayivarech Es Yosef, but he says, no, the blessing now specifically was to Menashe and Ephraim. And the blessing is very strange. Couldn't find any other imagery to conjecture up for blessing. Should be like fish. That's what he said to them. You guys, you have a, something is so very fishy here. You should have fish blessings. You should propagate like fish. How nice of me the fish. What's so great about fish? And this is the blessing, incidentally, that we give our children. Your children should be like Ephraim and Menashe. And what is that? Like fish. So Rashi says, what is the meaning of v'yidgu? In Hebrew, the verbs and the nouns are not detached. In English, we say propagate like fish. But in Hebrew, if you're going to say propagate like fish, then that word also is a fish word. So v'yidgu is a permutation of the word dag. It's the verb of dag. Dag is the noun, and yidgu is the verb. V'yidgu, says Rashi, kidogim halolu sheparim v'ravim, that you should propagate like fish that increase in enormous volumes. V'ein ayin hara sheletas behem. Rashi is not satisfied to say that it should only meaning describing a volume of procreation, because I mean, probably for the simplest reason that no human being has ever had a school of children, at least not a one pregnancy. You can have, it says we had sextuplets, so it was six babies, but a school, when the fish have babies, I mean, like, the imshu doesn't even make any sense. It's virtually impossible for a human being to have dozens and dozens of offspring at once. So he says, well, there has to be something else then. So what must this be? It must be that the ayin hara, the evil eye, which could chas v'shalom diminish their numbers, the evil eye should not have any control, should not have any power, should not be shalit. Okay, that's what Rashi says. So that's the reason we have this marine imagery. It's all about shielding from the ayin hara. The Urachayim says that the fish and their propagation takes place against all odds. It's all odds. He says, first of all, they're in water that's very, very cold. And by the nature of what the colder things are, the less the growth and development there is. That's the nature of cold temperatures. It arrests development. It freezes things. And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses the fish, despite the fact that they're in the coldest waters, for the most part. Nonetheless, they continue to propagate at extraordinary rates. And I was thinking about the Zerah Chaim, you know, the salmon, they swim upstream. They swim upstream. It's almost like impossible what they do in order to procreate. But they do it. And maybe that's what this is about. Even though Archaim doesn't say that, I'm just suggesting that. But the point here would be that the Bnei Yosef should have this incredible ability. When did it come? We don't see that the children of Yosef, when they came to Israel, we don't see they had more numbers. They didn't have, I mean, not just fine, but fair-sized tribes, but not more than the rest of the Jewish people. Where do you see this blessing of the Yidgul Rav? They should procreate at unnatural and rates it against all odds. So the Vilna Gaon has a very interesting approach to this. He says it's Bekerev Haaretz. This blessing can only be fulfilled in the land. He says when they came to the land, that's when it happened. But we don't have census numbers from then. He says, but that's when the population went crazy. That's when the kingdom of Israel is called primarily Ephraim's kingdom, because Ephraim and Menashe, they had an enormous amount of population and children. At any rate, so we have two ideas here. We have this notion, this idea that the fish don't have an ayin hara, which is, you know, strange for most of us because we don't tend to think in terms of ayin hara, although your bubby probably said poo, poo, poo or something like that. But we tend not to think like in ayin hara terms. I don't think to take that too seriously. And the Gemara says, man dekapit kabdinole, if you don't take it seriously, then it can't really affect you. But nonetheless, Rashi says somehow, if you know, if there's ayin hara, it could affect the volume of growth. And Erech Chaim is talking to us about against all odds. So on page Shin Lamed Gimel, we have here a very interesting perspective from the Rebbe on why Yaakov might have evoked the imagery of the fish and marine life. So first of all, we begin with a quote from the Gemara, which is this where Rashi gets it from. He says, Ma dogim shebayam, just as the fish of the sea, mayim mechasim aleihem, the waters cover them. Ve'ein ayin hara sheletas behem, and because the waters cover them, nobody really sees what's going on beneath the sea. In fact, it's been said, the last part of planet Earth that's not really discovered and hasn't been explored is the deep sea. You look at the ocean, you just see ocean. You don't see the schools or scores of fish. So there's no ayin hara. Nobody can sit and talk about it. Did you see how many lions there are these days? We got to go hunting. Did you see how many beetles there are? Nobody knows how many fish there are. They're all, it's all covered over. Av zare shel Yosef, so too, the seed of Yosef, ein ayin hara sheletes behem. No ayin hara. You know, people have all these strange customs of warding off the evil eye. Some people wear a fish. They have like fish necklaces. Probably this red string business has something to do with that. It comes from somewhere. Because Kevarachal with Yosef, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but it's probably some way connected. When people say, when they want to say they shouldn't have ayin hara, ben porat Yosef, child of Yosef. This is business of Yosef and being exempt from ayin hara. And that was Yaakov Avinu was evoking with this fishy imagery. That's what the Gemara says in Brachos on page 20. So the Rebbe says that bepnimius hanyanim, from an esoteric perspective here, we could suggest that hamayla bekach shemayim mechasim aleim. Since the Gemara doesn't just say that the fish don't have ayin hara, the Gemara gives the reason. The reason is shemayim mechasim. He doesn't just say that the eye can't see them. Doesn't just say that the ein hadogim nirim. It says hamayim mechasim aleim. The emphasis of the Gemara is that waters cover them. So this is einu rak mishum sheketetzah mikach. It's not only because as a result of the fact that waters cover them, they're not seen. If they're not seen, so they're not going to be able to, they won't suffer from any kind of impediment through ayin hara. Ela yesh behem mashmor es chiyuvus. The Rebbe suggests that it's more than just warding off something negative, but there actually is something positive, which is conveyed through the concept of mayim mechasim aleihem. Not only they aren't seen, not only they're shielded by the water, so the bad or evil eye doesn't get to them, but there's something positive about it. What could be so positive about being covered over with water? And why would that be the key to having all these blessings? Yadua, it's well known, sha'aderech v'hakli, that the way, the vessel, the convention, the envelope, to be able to merit the blessings of God, he al yedei his batlus muchletes klapov. The more you're in a state of humility and nullity before God, the more of a receptacle you are, the more receptive you'll be to Hashem's blessings. Kol zman shanivra margesh es atzmai, as long as a person feels himself and he's aware of himself, kimetzias atzmois, as somebody who is independent, since his independence, since his mitzias is independent, since he has his own frame, his own limit, this is who I am, everybody can only be so much and no more. So since he limits himself, he has this image of who he is and he obsesses over who he is, and this is how I define myself. Okay, so if that's how you define yourself, he has no room for any more blessings. He already defined himself. This is who I am. These are my rigors. These are my contours. This is my frame. This is who I am. So yeah, you could do much better. No, I can't do much better. This is who I am. I can't have hatzlacha go beyond. I'm only here. I'm limited to this thing. But the bracha of Hashem is l'mayli b'kol hagbal. The blessings of Hashem go far beyond any limitations. When a person comes to a position where he puts himself totally aside, he says, I don't even know what I'm capable or not capable of. God, you make it happen. Then he can have the merit of God's blessing taking root in a way which is bilti mugbelus, in a way which is literally limitless. And this, the Rebbe suggests, is the remez, b'hashvos, zare shel Yosef l'dogim. This is the allusion in the comparison of Yosef's progeny to fish. Mayim mechasim aleihem. What does this mean? Fish whom water cover over. Hadogim mivatim mitivam, pardon me, betelim l'bnei amayim. The dogim, the fish, by their very nature, are totally dependent upon water. No fish says, water? Who needs water? I can get around without this. Hadikol kiyum etalim amayim. His very existence is all about water. So much so, the Mishnah says that if a person goes to mikveh, a fish brushed by the skin, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't get in the way of the tefillah. Why? Because the dogim, the fish are water. It's all the same. Ukisha Persha Menayam is a famous story in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, Mesechus Brachos, Rabbi Akiva, when he metaphorized that a Jew leaves Torah, he's finished up. When the fish separates from the sea, what happens? Miyade Mesim. There's no shchita. You don't shech the fish. How does the fish die? It just dies. Separated from its source of life. It will not live. It can't live without the water. As the expression goes, a fish out of water. Can't live. V'zui ha-bracha l'zareh shel Yosef. This then was actually the blessing to Yosef's progeny. Sha'af heim yu b'teilim l'klap ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu. That they should be in a state of nullity before God. Kefi sha'adogim b'teilim klap ha-mayim. As fish are dependent upon their water, and they know that they can't live outside their environment, Yosef's children should be aware at all times the connection they have with God. And how all their blessings come through our Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'hadavar yavir lehem tesefes bracha bilti mugbelas. When they'll be in that kind of nullity, that kind of state of self-abnegation before God, when they'll be like fish in water, then the blessings will come to them far beyond the rhyme and reason of their own independent self-definition, but in a way which transcends that altogether, the blessings of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, which in fact have no limitations whatsoever. May we see those blessings.